Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry, Nurse Carmen, because you start your introduction over, I kind of brought you in late.
Yeah, that's okay. I thank you for tuning in. This is an Hodge to Hodge podcast on Block Talk Radio. This is the Messenger Edition. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And this is Nurse Carmen. And again, I thank you for tuning in. We welcome you. And now you will hear the conversation from the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening. Thank you all for tuning in tonight for another special edition of our conversation with God. I'd like to thank Sister T for making it out tonight.
Wonderful to hear your voice, Messenger.
Thank you, dear.
Amen.
It's always an honor to have my co-producer by my side as we conversate with God. Tonight, I just wanted us to know that faith in this message that we're delivering, faith, if you have but the faith of a mustard seed, you shall move mountains. You come to know it is because God said it is. Because God said it, then even before you ask, God has answered. Because God has said and has said to you in every conceivable way, through every teacher you can name, that whatsoever you shall choose it in my name, so shall it be. Yet many people say that their prayers have gone unanswered. No prayer, and a prayer is nothing more than a fervent statement of what is, so goes unanswered. Every prayer, every thought, every statement, every feeling is creative. To the degree that it is fervently held as truth, to that degree will it be made manifest in your experience. when it is said that a prayer has not been answered, what has in actuality happened is that the most fervent held thought, word, or feeling has become operative. Yet, what you must know, and here is the secret, is that I hear something in the background. What you must know, and here is the secret again, is that always it is the thought behind the thought what might be called the sponsoring thought. That is the controlling thought. If therefore you beg and supplicate, there seems a much smaller chance that you will experience what you think you are choosing, because the sponsoring thought behind every supplication is that you do not have now what you wish. That sponsoring thought becomes your reality. Now, that's important. So I just want to say that again, because this is important to us, because a lot of times we have these prayers and we're praying for stuff, and it seems as if he's not answering. But if God is not answering, then that means that God is a liar. Because he said, whatever you ask in my name, it shall be. It shall be. So what we have to understand is the sponsoring thought. Because like you may say a prayer, but you got to remember also what you're thinking in your head. Faith, the size of a mustard seed. So one of the things, I that's why I love having my co-producer by my side, he's already counted it. That sponsoring thought is that it's going to be in November or December. It's going to be. That's his sponsoring thought. And now, if we just be truthful with ourselves, we say a prayer, but we know in the back of our heads that we're thinking something different, that it won't be, or I don't know when, or this or that. So we have sponsoring thoughts to the prayer or the supplication that we've given to God. And once again, it's because we don't understand who we are. Like, for instance, a lot of times we say stuff under our breath and we think it's nothing. But because of who we are, it is something. Our words, our thoughts, they have power. And if you don't think they have power, just think about the things, some of the things in which you've asked for or you requested, and then think about some of the stuff that went on inside your head while you were asking. So remember, the only sponsoring thought which could override this thought is the thought held in faith that God will grant whatever is asked without fail. Some people have such faith, but very few. The process of prayer becomes much easier when, rather than having to believe that God will always say yes to every request, one understands intuitively that the request itself is not necessary. Then the prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. It is not a request at all, but a statement of gratitude for what is so. So when you say that a prayer is a statement of what it is, what we're saying is that God does nothing, that everything which happens after a prayer is a result of the prayer's action. Okay, so this is what we have to understand. If you believe that God is some omnipotent being who hears all prayers, says yes to some and no to others, and maybe, but not now to the rest, you are mistaken. By what rule of thumb would God decide? If you believe that God is the creator and decider of all things in your life, you are mistaken. God is simply the observer, not the creator. And God stands ready to assist you in your living, in you in living your life, but not in the way you might expect. It is not God's function to create or uncreate the circumstances or conditions of your life. God created you in the image and likeness of God. You have created the rest through the power God has given you. God created the process of life and life itself as you know it. Yet God gave you free choice to do with life as you will. In this sense, your will for you is God's will for you. You are living your life the way you are living your life, and God has no preference in the matter. This is the grand illusion in which we have engaged, that God cares one way or another what you do. God does not care what you do, and that is hard for all of us to hear. Yet, do you care what your children do when you send them out to play? It is a matter of consequences to whether they play tag or hide and seek. Or pretend. It is not because you know they are perfectly safe. You have placed them in an environment which you consider friendly and very okay. Of course, you will always hope that they do not harm themselves. And if they do, you'll be right there to help them, heal them, allow them to feel safe again, to be happy again, to go play again another day. But whether they choose hide and seek or tag will not matter to you the next day either. You will tell them, of course, which games are dangerous to play, but you cannot stop your children from doing dangerous things. Not always, not forever, not in every moment from now until death. It is the wise parent who knows this, yet the parent never stops caring about the outcome. It is the dichotomy, not caring deeply. I'm sorry, the dichotomy, not caring deeply about the process, but caring deeply about the result. That comes close to describing the dichotomy of God. Yet God, in a sense, does not even care about the outcome, not the ultimate outcome. This is because the ultimate outcome is assured. And this is the second great illusion of man, that the outcome of life is in doubt. It is this doubt about ultimate outcome that has created our greatest enemy, which is fear. For if you doubt outcome, then you doubt Creator. You must doubt God. And if you doubt God, you must live in fear and guilt all your life. If you doubt God's intention and God's ability to produce the ultimate result, then how can you ever relax? How can you ever truly find peace? Yet God has full power to match intentions with results. You cannot and will not believe in this. Even though you claim that God is all-powerful, and so you have to create in your imagination a power equal to God in order that you may find a way for God's will to be thwarted. And so you have created in your mythology the being we call the devil. You have even imagined God at war with this being, thinking God solves problems the way we do. Finally, we have actually imagined that God could lose the war. All of this violates everything you say you know about God. But this doesn't matter. You live your illusions and thus feeds your fear, all out of your decision to doubt God.
Talk to him, my brother. Talk to him.
But what if you made a new decision? What then would be the results? I tell you this, you would live life as Buddha did, as Jesus did, as did every saint you have ever idolized. Yet, as with most of these saints, people would not understand you. And when you tried to explain your sense of peace, your joy in life, your inner ecstasy, they would listen to your words. Hello. They would listen to your words, but not hear them. They would try to repeat your words, but would not add to them. They would wonder how you could have what they cannot find. And then they would grow jealous. Soon jealousy would turn to rage. And in their anger, they would try to convince you that it is you who do not understand God. They were unsuccessful in tearing you from your joy, they would seek to harm you. And when you told them it does not matter, that even death cannot interrupt your joy nor change your truth, they would surely kill you. Then, when they saw the peace with which you accepted death, they would call you saint and love you again. For it is the nature of people to love, then destroy, then love again, that which they value most. Now, I just want to slow down because that was really deep. Because what actually happened is something that Jesus tried to tell us. We do not have the spirit of fear, but we accept it because we believe in this mythical creature called the devil. And we think that the devil has just as much authority as God. When we created all of this, how did we get into this devil? Where did this devil come from? But it's partly because we have a tendency of looking at everything from a right and wrong perspective, a good or bad perspective. We're constantly doing this, and so what we're doing is when we start doing this with our mind, then our faith weakens, because if we believe that God is in control and we are part of the body of God, then we have no fear. If we believe that we are part of God, then we know that we can truly call forth things as creators. But remember now, when you call forth things, you've got to call forth your truth. And when you call forth your truth, you've got to call it forth knowing and believing. Faith the size of a mustard seed. And we all know, well, I won't say we all know, but I can say that at a point in time, I'm guilty of it. I'll ask for something, and then in the back of my mind, knowing it ain't going to happen. And then instead of accepting the fact that it is me, I turn around and blame it on God. Like God, who God said he was. Who she said she was. So I'm taking it from me and placing it back on God and making God less than what it is. In my mind, because I cannot make God anything less than what it is. God is everything. So the reason why we go without is because of our faith. We have to believe this. And once you believe it, and then you get to know it, and you'll get to know it through experience. Because once you start to experience it, then it becomes a full circle. You speak it, you see it, and you experience it. Three, Holy Trinity. We look at the Holy Trinity as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But if you look, it's a three part. And we are three part, mind, body, and soul. In this realm of life, from this realm, we move to the next realm, which is the realm of absolute. It is what it is. because you are what you are. I am that I am. Absolute. But now we're in this realm. So what we need to do is we need to, the faith that we say that we have, we need to nourish it and build upon it. When Jesus spoke of faith the size of a mustard seed, that's just how easy it is for us, but we've got to use it. And you can't tell me you have faith if you're already doubting. So if you're already doubting, you don't have the faith. But if you believe, your belief will come to know. All human actions are motivated at this deepest level by one of two emotions, fear or love. In truth, there are only two emotions, only two words in the language of the soul. These are the opposite ends of the great polarity which God created when he produced the universe and our world as we know it today. These are the two points, the Alpha and the Omega, which allows the system we call relativity to be. Without these two points, without these two ideas about things, no other idea could exist. And so, of course, you choose the action fear sponsors, so that in what you have been taught. Well, I'm here to teach you this. When you choose the action love sponsors, then will you do more than survive? Then will you do more than win? Then will you do more than succeed? Then will you experience the full glory of who you really are and who you can be? To do this, you must turn aside the teachings of your well, but misinformed worldly tutors, and hear the teaching of those whose wisdom come from another source. I'll let that meditate for a moment. You're going to put some of that religion stuff aside and listen to another source which your soul is agreeing with. There are many such teachers among us. As always, there has always been. For God said, I will not leave you without those who will show you, teach you, guide you, and remind you of these truths. Now, in the Baptist doctrine, they call that the Holy Spirit. Once again, but God is saying that I will not leave you without someone to show you. But because of the teaching, it is the Holy Spirit, as according to the Baptist religion, the Christian religion, or any of the other religions, it is that Holy Spirit. But what they don't realize is that Holy Spirit resides in us. And so what happens is we miss the mark on so many different occasions because we're looking for something that's not there when what we're looking for is right in front of us. The same way we're somewhere looking to the hills when God is within us. There are many such teachers among us. Yet the greatest reminder is not anyone outside you, but that voice within you. This is the first tool that God uses because it is the most accessible. The voice within is the loudest voice with which God speaks because it is closest to you. It is the voice which tells you whether everything else is true or false, right or wrong, good or bad, as you have defined it. It is the radar that sets the course, steers the ship, guides the journey if you but let it. It is the voice which tells you right now whether the very words you are hearing are words of love or words of fear. But this measure, can you determine whether they are words to heed or words to ignore? That voice within you, that spirit within you is talking to you. It's telling you now whether to hear what it is that Brother Ron, the messenger, is saying to you. If it be true or if it be he done bumped his head. That voice within you. There is only one purpose for all of life, and that is for you and all that live to experience fullest glory. Everything else you say, think, or do is attendant to that function. There is nothing else for your soul to do and nothing else your soul wants to do. The wonder of this purpose is that it is never ending. An ending is a limitation, and God's purpose is without such a boundary. Should there come a moment in which you experience yourself in your fullest glory, you will in that instant imagine an even greater glory to fulfill. The more you are, the more you can become. And the more you can become, the more you can yet be. The deepest secret is that life is not a process of discovery, but a process of creation. You are not discovering yourself, but creating yourself anew. Seek, therefore, not to find out who you are. Seek to determine who you want to be. Seek, therefore, not to find out who you are. Seek to determine who you want to be. Those are the words that I really want to leave with us tonight. And I've said a lot of powerful stuff for us to let sink in and marinate and talk with God about. But
yes,
I want us to understand that this is our purpose, to seek to determine who we want to be. Who do you want to be when you wake up tomorrow morning? Who? And whoever it is that you decide, then go out and do it and be it. It's just that simple. So I'm going to close and give my co-producer a moment, because I heard him give me a little and, but I just want us to remember this. All right? That life is not a school. We are not here for a lesson. We are here to remember and recreate who we are. I've told you over and over again, some of y'all do not believe me. Yet, this is well as it should be, for truly, if you do not create yourself as who you are, then you cannot be. My co-producer.
Hey, thank you so much for that message tonight, my brother.
Amen.
Again, I'm sure that when people hear that message, we're going to get a whole lot more people calling in on this podcast. I mean, that was just powerful. And if you just sit back and just think about the words you heard tonight, and again, just let it sit and let it process. It makes nothing but good sense. And again, when it makes good sense, and you understand that you're going to heaven, folks, the end is already decided. The in between part, see, this is where you get to create who you are and who you're going to be. And we should understand that and take advantage of that. And as part of us taking advantage of it, when you understand that you are godly, and you have to understand just the term godly means higher, a higher power than anything. But when you understand that you are a part of that, it will change your decisions. It will change how you speak to people. Now, it's not going to make you perfect right away, but you'll be on the road to it. You'll be on the road to understand that when you make that connection with the Creator, then live your life. And as you understand to live your life, you'll understand that part of living your life is to always help someone else. Hey, that's our message for tonight. And Brother Messenger, I appreciate that word tonight. And I'm going to send that forth because I just can't keep that one to myself.
Bless you.
Good night, podcast audience.
Good night.